Welcome to the Great Big Small Business Show from Grasshopper New Media. This is our premiere episode, and I am Becky McCray, your host. Today's topic is talking to your customers. An essential element of small business is recognizing all the different types of customers that you have. Steve Yastro defines it this way: a customer is anyone whose actions affect your results. By this definition, a customer is not just a customer, but also your vendors, your employees, your bankers, even the municipal authorities, and so on. Contributing to our discussion today will be Heidi Miller with I Is the New Black, Chris Brogan on podcasting for your small business, Steve Rusinski sharing the 5 biggest marketing mistakes that small businesses make, and Laura Allen on the power of the 15-second pitch. Then I'll be back with an example of what's in it for me communication. So we will start off with Heidi Miller with I Is the New Black. Heidi is a professional presenter worldwide from her base in Illinois. She's actually a Texas native who speaks fluent French, and an admitted geek with at least 2 blogs and her own very professional podcast. Heidi says that you have a big advantage as a real person in a small business, and that is your own voice.
Hi, this is Heidi Miller, host of Diary of a Shameless Self-Promoter podcast, Talk It Up weblog, and corporate spokesperson for hire, here to talk to you today about I Is the New Black. Now, this is something I really wish that I'd said, but unfortunately, I didn't. Chris Brogan said it. And I really wish that I had, because it's a great way to talk about the trend now in communication. And I'm not just talking corporate communication, I'm talking everywhere. The trend now is really more towards, okay, that phrase that we keep using and hearing all the time, authenticity of voice. People aren't interested in a corporate massaged message anymore, whether you be a large company or a small one. We've heard all those messages before. We've heard the, thank you for your patience, we appreciate your call, please stay on the line. And we don't buy it for a minute. What people are looking for today in marketing, communications, and in the blogosphere, podosphere, wherever you are, is reality. They're looking for real people. They're looking for that authenticity of voice. They're not looking for something that's written the way it's supposed to be written. They're looking for something that's you. Now, I've been a corporate presenter and spokesperson for quite a few years now, and this was a mistake that I made very early on in my presenting career as a salesperson. I thought that I was supposed to sound polished and perfect and, well, like all those things I saw on TV in those 80s movies where you were pointing at charts and saying something very corporate sounding. And so I tried to sound like that. And of course, I flopped miserably because I wasn't having any fun. I was trying to do things right. I was trying to get my message just right. Now, the medium is the message, or more precisely, you are the message. Part of what people are getting from the communication with you, whether it be through a corporate presentation, talk at a sales meeting, blog, podcast, or what have you, is you, your personality, what you bring to it, and how excited you are about it. So to me, that's what I Is the New Black means. Use your voice. Use your words. Talk to your audience as if you were really talking to a close friend. They'll have more fun, and you probably will too. This has been Heidi Miller, shameless self-promoter and corporate spokesperson for hire.
Thank you, Heidi. Now, you may have noticed that Heidi admitted that she did not come up with the phrase, I is the new black. That was actually our next presenter, which is Chris Brogan. Chris is based in Boston, where he lives in a warehouse building with his wife and his 2 children. His professional background includes telecommunications and more outside projects than you can shake a stick at, including Grasshopper New Media, which is the parent of the Great Big Small Business Show that you're listening to right now. Chris is a podcasting expert, and he is going to tell us about podcasting for your small business.
Podcasting for your small business. Hi, this is Chris Brogan from Grasshopper New Media. Let's just throw the term podcasting out the window for a minute and think of it a different way. This is a conversation. Think about the opportunity as a small business owner to have a conversation with a customer that you haven't even met yet. No, not an advertisement, because an advertisement is a call to action. It's a promotion. It's saying, come to my store and do this thing. But no, a real live conversation. What if you wanted somebody to know about your business? Let's make up a business. You are a company in town who does ceramics that you let kids paint or adults paint even, and you have people in, and the idea is basically that it's just a retail business in a small store. What would you want your customers to know about that? You'd want them to know that it wasn't just about you making money, but that you sold an experience. You didn't sell the ceramic. It wasn't just about going in there and buying the little trinket. It was about the experience of going in there and painting. So what would you do to get that message out? Now, in the example that I picked, and I picked a random business from my town, it's going to be interesting to think of how you're going to come up with a lot of episodes. So maybe you don't talk about just ceramics, or maybe you cover the conversations that go on at those parties. So you host birthday parties for kids. You host ladies' nights where there's wine and Chinese food. You start bringing a podcasting rig with you, just some small thing to record with, and get some good snippets of the conversation that's going on there, and show people what kind of fun is going on. And then maybe you offer classes. Maybe you even do small little video podcasts showing some pieces from start to finish. I don't know. But what I'm doing here is I'm explaining how podcasting would be a way to communicate with your customers and have a conversation, sometimes before you've even met them. Podcasting isn't about the technology so much. It's not about the hardware and how you get it all to work online, as it is finding your voice and getting that voice and your message and your story communicated out to the people that you want to reach. Imagine what you could do if you could have conversations with customers, and that's what you can do with a podcast. I'm Chris Brogan from Grasshopper New Media.
Thank you, Chris. If Chris has piqued your interest in podcasting for your small business, then you might want to drop by Chris's free online lessons in podcasting that you will find at newmediaschool.com. Next, we're going to back up and take a big picture look at marketing. Steve Rusinski is going to give you an introduction of himself and tell you about the five biggest marketing mistakes that small businesses make.
Hi, this is Steve Rusinski, and I'm very excited to be a contributor on the Great Big Small Business Show that is being provided to you by Grasshopper New Media. In the next 3 to 4 minutes, I want to cover just a couple of items of introduction and then my quick topic on the five biggest marketing mistakes that companies make. First, let me start off with a bit of personal background and why do I believe I can be a relevant contributor to this podcast. I live in Medina, Ohio in the USA, which is about 25 miles south of the city of Cleveland. I'm 52 years old, married and the father of three children ages 23, 12, and 9 who are the joy of my life. Professionally, I have worked in and around the information technology industry for 30 years. I have worked for large manufacturers and small technology resellers. I've been a technician, a salesperson, and held multiple management roles in several different business functions like marketing, sales, software development, consulting, as well as territory general management. I started my own small business in 2002, consulting to small businesses, particularly those businesses that wanted to grow rapidly. I built the business up to 4 consultants and a very diverse client base. From metals processors to cleaning franchises, wedding magazine publishers to a record storage company, I served a total of over 30 different clients, all of which had one desire to grow and grow fast. That was fun, but in 2004 I decided to exit the business consulting space and shift my attention to online and web services and web business models. I launched myself into blogging, podcasting, and developed 3 to 4 web properties that make money by selling digitized information, and I'm always working on a new website developments and projects. Now let me speak for a minute as to why I think I can be a relevant contributor to the Great Big Small Business Show. First, the majority of my online efforts and websites center around small business. both the opportunities they face and the challenges that exist for them. I'm in the center of an information stream that all centers on small business. I hope to leverage this information stream and my experience and some guests I hope to have for your benefit. If you'd like to check out some of the other sites around small business that I own or contribute to, here are the URLs or website addresses. First is www.smbceo.com, titled Small Business CEO. I've got over 550 posts that focus on providing resources and knowledge to help the small business CEO. Next is www.smbtrendwire.com. The title of that site is Small Business Trends Radio. We've got over 70 hours of free, relevant small business knowledge in audio form. And last is www.bizinformer.com. This is a general business site that's got over 300 posts on various business topics, and there's three contributors that are writing for it today. Okay, let's talk about the top five biggest marketing mistakes companies make. When marketing efforts aren't successful, many companies wonder why. They sent out direct mail or refurbished their website or attended a trade show, but they're still left disappointed and frustrated with languishing sales and underused resources. Why isn't that phone ringing? Maybe because marketing efforts must be more than a disconnected series of tasks. Effective marketing is not a single activity, but a well-choreographed effort that takes planning, consistency, and fortitude to accomplish. Put the power of marketing to work for you and your company by avoiding the five biggest marketing mistakes I've seen companies make. And all I'm going to do today is give them summary bullets, and in future shows we'll go into more detail on each one. Mistake number one, marketing without a strategy in place. Believing your product does everything, your target market is anyone who has money to spend, and you don't have competition isn't a way to be successful. Mistake number two, being inconsistent with your brand. Continuously changing your company's position depending on the audience, marketing vehicle used, or person delivering it can be a fatal mistake. Marketing mistake number three, not integrating marketing with sales efforts. Developing marketing programs or materials that fizzle out in the sales process and never get used. I like to use a definition. I'll interrupt here for a second and say, marketing generates prospects, sales turns prospects into cash. Keep those two functions and roles clearly in mind. Marketing mistake number four, marketing something you don't actually have operationally. Aggressively marketing a skill set, a technology, a product or service that you haven't tested or validated is simply not even available yet. It's something we could offer that syndrome. You know, can really be fatal, impact your quality, and really hurt your brand name and your reputation in your market. And finally, mistake number five, not using the marketing mix effectively. Fixating on only one marketing vehicle to promote a company and its products can be the downfall. Well, that's about all the time I want to take today. I look forward to speaking to you again next week and in future weeks to come, and we'll dive into more detail on this topic around the five biggest marketing mistakes, as well as several other interesting topics. That wraps up our time. Make it a good day, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Steve. Now, for a practical approach to marketing and talking with your customers every day, we're going to turn to Laura Allen. Laura is an experienced New York networker. Her professional experience includes book publishing, advertising, and online marketing. She's going to tell us about the power of the 15-second pitch.
Hello, my name is Laura Allen, and I'm the co-founder of 15secondpitch.com. This is the power of the 15-second pitch, how having a great pitch can help you get more business. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to talk about the first step in creating a great 15-second pitch, which is choosing one thing to focus on for your pitch. Let's get started. A question I get asked all of the time is, why do I need a 15-second pitch? And that's easy. You need a 15-second pitch because we live in a society that suffers from attention deficit disorder. Blackberries, cell phones, TVs, and the list goes on and on. People are constantly trying to get our attention, and we are constantly trying to ignore them. I don't know about you, but I mute my TV during the commercials. Worse than that, I have a DVR, which is like TiVo, so I fast forward through the commercials as well. The advertisers can't get my attention. As I walk through Times Square, there are neon signs that are 10 stories tall. I can't tell you what any of them are for because I've learned to block it out. This type of mentality is the same thing that you deal with when you go to a networking event, charity fundraiser, or family picnic. People are incredibly distracted. Even if they ask you what you do for a living, they may only be half listening when you tell them. The fact that half of us have ADD is the bad news. Here's the good news. People will listen if you grab their attention by saying something interesting, funny, clever, or authentic. Creating a 15-second pitch helps you cut through the clutter and get to the point. Even the busiest person has 15 seconds to hear about what you do. For example, here's a pitch from a woman I met online who is a small business owner. I think this pitch is clever, compelling, and most importantly, fun. Here goes. Hello, my name is Christine, and I am a Dippy Chick. Dippy Chick specializes in creating all-natural gourmet edibles with a good dose of humor. We make and sell our own lines of fun gourmet snack foods, including party dips and candied nuts. Our products are uniquely packaged with whimsical hand-drawn designs and hilarious product titles. Go to dippychick.com and see what makes us delicious. I like Christine's pitch so much because it's fun and it made me go to her website to learn more. Christine's pitch also makes me want to ask her some questions. If your 15-second pitch motivates the listener to ask you questions, then you're definitely on the right track. I know that I would rather be answering questions as part of a friendly conversation than trying to convince someone to buy my products by giving them the hard sell. The 15-second pitch is the first step in building a long-term, loyal relationship with your customers. Let's talk about some people who have built their careers around one thing. If I mention Tony Robbins, many people think of him as a motivational speaker. He gets you motivated to do something with your life and career. He's a man that can inspire you to get up off the couch and take action. Action is his one thing. When I talk about Donald Trump, most people think about real estate. Sure, they also think about his crazy toupee, but it's more interesting to talk about how he's built his empire than his strange hairpiece. So Trump's one thing is real estate. When I talk about Susie Orman, a lot of people associate her with money. She's got a call-in TV show that's all about money, and she's written books to help people with their money. Money is definitely Susie's one thing. Tony Robbins, Donald Trump, and Susie Orman found their niches. What's yours? They found one concept or one thing that they could become known for. That doesn't mean that Trump can't go out and do a TV show called The Apprentice. It just means that he needed to make his money and build his reputation as the Donald before anyone would watch him say, "You're fired." If you want to see real pitches that people are using, simply go to our website at 15secondpitch.com and type in a search term like sales, marketing, or real estate, and you will get to see all of our members who have included those search terms in their pitches. Thank you so much for joining me today. We talked about the importance of focusing on one thing to base your 15-second pitch on. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them for you. You can email me at Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at 15, the number 15, second, S-E-C-O-N-D, pitch, P-I-T-C-H, .com. Again, I'm Laura Allen, co-founder of 15secondpitch.com. Have a good day and create a great pitch.
Thank you, Laura. We have certainly covered a lot of ground today, from being authentic, to podcasting as a conversation, to big marketing mistakes, to pitching yourself in 15 seconds. I'd like to wrap up today with a real example of what's in it for me communications in talking with your customers. But first, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Becky McCray, and I am the publisher of SmallBizSurvival.com. I'm a small business owner, and my husband and I have a cattle ranch in Oklahoma. My professional experience over the last 15 years includes small business, nonprofit organizations, and government work. I've worked with retail, service businesses, manufacturing, and media. And currently, I do provide business and marketing consulting to a select group of international clients. And today I'm going to tell you a tale of two emails that I received. Email number one, the author had read my site, had subscribed, and had even contributed to the discussion. In other words, he did his homework. He asked for my feedback, and then he asked for my help in spreading some PR about his product. Email number two started with, "I am writing to inform you," and my reaction was, "So what? This is just someone who wants me to help spread some free PR, and I'm not opposed to that because I did help the writer of email number one." It's important that you keep your tone personal, that you think of one person. In fact, do what writer number one did and write to one person at a time, not a generic, "I am writing to inform you." If the only thing you customize in the letter is the person's name, it's not really written to one person. Remember to use your authentic voice. You want to apply this to your emails, to your letters, to your ads of all kinds, to your podcasts, and to your 15-second pitch. My advice is to be a real person and talk to all your customers as real people. Thank you again for listening today. And also thank you to our contributors, Laura Allen, Steve Rusinski, Chris Brogan, and Heidi Miller. This has been the Great Big Small Business Show, and we hope to see you again next week when we have more advice from some of the best minds in small business. Have a great week.